ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवान् उवाच ॐ नमो भगवते महापुरुषाय सार्वगुणसङ्खानाय अनन्तया व्यक्तया नमस्तिते। The most powerful, Lord Shiva says, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you in your expansion as Lord Shankarshan. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Although you are unlimited, you remain unmanifested to the non-devotees. O my Lord, you are the only worshipable person, for you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences. Your secure lotus feet are the only source of protection for all your devotees, whom you satisfy by manifesting yourself in various forms. O my Lord, you deliver your devotees from the clutches of material existence. Non-devotees, however, remain entangled in material existence by your will. Kindly accept me as your eternal servant. We cannot control the force of our anger. Therefore, when we look at material things, we cannot avoid feeling attraction or repulsion from them. But the Supreme Lord is never affected in this way. Although he glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and destroying it, he is not affected, even to the slightest degree. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the force of the senses must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he will be victorious. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always equipped with inconceivable potencies. Although creation takes place by His glancing over the material energy, He is not affected by the modes of material nature. Because of his eternally transcendental position, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this material world, the modes of material nature cannot affect him. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is called transcendence, and anyone who wants to be secure from the influence of the modes of material nature must take shelter of him. Today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, entitled The Descent of the River Ganges. Shukadev Goswami is describing in Ilavrata Varsha, Lord Shiva resides with Parvati. surrounded by billions and billions of maidservants. And he absorbs himself in meditation on Lord Shankarshan, who is the original source of Lord Shiva. We have sung in Brahma Samhita just a few minutes ago the very inconceivable tattva of Lord Shiva. He is Lord Vishnu, but at the same time, not exactly Lord Vishnu. As milk and dahi or yogurt are the same, they are also very different. Milk is the source of dahi. Dahi is never the source of milk. And they have different functions. So when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his own will, cultures himself with a particular mood or mode of nature, he becomes Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a completely transcendental personality. From the Chaturvyuha of Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Shankarshan, Lord Shiva manifests by the will of Shankarshan, as an expansion of Shankarshan. And just as Krishna tells in Gita, Sarva Karana Karanam, he is the source of everything that exists. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mata Sarvam Pravartita. The origin of everything. Therefore, we surrender to Krishna. We take shelter of Krishna. We try to always meditate on Krishna. So Lord Shiva is always meditating in Ilavrata Varsha on Lord Shankarshan, his source. And here, in today's prayers, Lord Shiva is offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepting the subordinate role to the Lord in the mood of the Lord's eternal devotee. We honor Lord Shiva as Mahadev, the greatest of devotees. His love for the Lord and his compassion to all living beings forever makes him most dear to the Lord. We call him Mahadev for this reason. Who is a devotee? Not one who puts on kantimala or tilak, or shaves head, dhoti, or nice sari. That is not devotee. A devotee is one who pleases the Lord. One who serves the Lord in such a way that the Lord finds pleasure in that service, that is devotee. And the more we give pleasure to the Lord, the greater we are devotees. A great devotee is not simply one who gives a lot of money or gives great lectures or sings melodious kirtans. A great devotee is not necessarily one who makes tens and millions of disciples. The greatness of a devotee is simply to the extent that that person pleases the Lord by the quality of service. Bhakti simply means to please the Lord through devotional service. So when we say that Lord Shiva is Mahadev, that means he gives the most pleasure to the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in this world, what pleases the Lord the most is showing compassion to those who are suffering. The ecstatic rasas are eternally existing in this spiritual world. And obviously they give supreme pleasure to the Lord. But the Lord comes to this world only for the purpose of showing compassion to the living entities. And therefore, the greatest service, the greatest way we could show our love for the Lord in this world is to assist him, to be a part of his mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna in a single form. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He is Krishna with the complexion and the loving feelings of Srimati Radharani. And he has descended with his devotees. Those devotees are mostly his eternal associates from Goloka Vrindavan. Balarama Hoilo Nitai, Nityananda Sri Balaramji, Gadadhar Pandit is Sri Radharani. The six Goswamis are the Manjari maidservants of Sri Radharani. Vrishabhanu comes as Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So many great devotees have come in this way. Gauribas Pandit is Subal. Abhiram Thakur is Sridhama. But to please the Lord, in the spiritual world, they are cowherd boys and cowherd girls dancing and playing in the groves of Braj. But when they come with Lord Chaitanya in this world, there's a different leela. They're showing compassion to the fallen souls. And there are so many stories in the holy scriptures of the extent that they show compassion to the fallen souls. Gadadhar Das is the effulgence of Radharani. But how does she appear, this most beloved gopi, how does she appear in this world? Going even to the most ferocious qazis and fearlessly inducing them to chant the names of Lord Hari. And Sri Advaitacharya, he is Mahavishnu, but he is also Sadashiva, the original form of Lord Shiva. And according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he was the leader, the supreme most of all the devotees. All the devotees bowed to him. His intimate relationship with the Lord was so dear. In fact, on several occasions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed that he only came to the world because of the loving compassion of Sri Advaita Prabhu. It was he who sat on the bank of the Ganga, weeping tears and crying out with a loud voice for the Lord to descend. Not for himself, but for all the materialistic people who were immersed
in trying to enjoy the sources of misery, material life. It broke his heart.
And what is especially wonderful is he felt such pity, such brokenheartedness, seeing the people of Navadvip, who happened to be very opulent. There was a lot of wealth in Navadvip. There was always big festivals. People were always laughing and smiling. It was the high seat of learning for all the world. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made it like that by his scholarship. There were thousands and thousands of the greatest teachers on earth, and millions of people were coming to learn there. There was so much affluence. But Advaitacharya could not tolerate seeing they were in so much illusion. Opulence and material joy without Krishna is nothing but suffering for the soul. The soul is in misery as the mind and the senses are in the illusion of enjoyment. As Vidyapati has said, trying to enjoy a drop of water in a desert when you're parched with thirst. But those who are so addicted to that drop of water, they never look anywhere else. Therefore, they remain suffering with those little drops of water, birth after birth after birth. Garga Samhita says that he is a miserly person who takes a human form and quits his body without understanding Krishna. So it was Sri Advaita's love for God that he was such a compassionate friend of all living beings. And he loved us so much that his loud cries and his incessant tears brought Krishna with the love of Sri Radha to this world as Lord Chaitanya. We also read in Srimad Bhagavatam, during the churning of the ocean of milk, the demons and the demigods, oh, they worked so hard, lifting huge mountains, crushing their limbs, many dying in the process, and then trying to churn with a serpent, Vasuki, who was emitting terrible flames. They were being burnt, they were being crushed. So many austerities, because they wanted nectar. There's something that both the demigods and the demons have in common. They both want sense gratification. The demigods, they want sense gratification more in the mode of goodness, and the demons more in the mode of passion and ignorance, especially ignorance. But they're both addicted to sense enjoyment. So for them, nectar means long life. Because if you have long life, then you can enjoy more. That is the assumption. Yes, they wanted that nectar. Now, devotees care nothing for that nectar. We want nectar of devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But you cannot dive into that nectar of loving devotion until we stop striving for the nectar of this world. So
So they churned and they churned and they churned. And what was the first thing that emanated from the ocean of milk? This is the nature of life. They were expecting nectar. And they worked so hard for it. But what came out? Poison. Hare Krishna. Isn't that the way life sometimes is? We work so hard for something. We suffer for it. We break our heads. We break our limbs. We just endure great anxieties and afflictions for something. And in the end, we get something very different. Poison. We have seen people start with nothing and work so hard for money. Prahlad Maharaj said, money is the honey. It's very sweet. Honey is a type of nectar in this world. And then they get it. And they think they're going to enjoy the nectar. But then they find they don't have any friends anymore. They don't know who to trust. Even their own family members are just thinking about the money and not them. Previously, they were thinking about each other. They were eating food at the same table. But now the table they're sitting together is the table at the different lawyers' offices as they're suing each other in courts, trying to make settlements, vicious cases. People are trying to steal from them. Children become enemies fighting over the father's property. They worked so hard for nectar, and it turned out to be poison. And unfortunately, or fortunately, from a devotee's point of view, that's the way it usually happens. On rare exceptions, it doesn't happen like that. Where amassing of wealth doesn't create loneliness, conflict, suspicion, even amongst family members, and conflict. And so much false pride. So the poison came out. And it was not like any poison that we know in this world. It was most powerful. It wasn't man-made. It wasn't just from a little plant. One drop could practically poison the entire civilization. The demigods and the demons, they saw that this poison was spreading in all directions. It was just a matter of moments till all life would be extinguished. They had no power to counteract that poison that they created. Material life is like that. We create our own monsters. We think we're doing good, but we're creating so many problems. Prahlad Maharaj said in this way, the solutions to the problems of this world create bigger and more difficult problems than the original problem, although they temporarily appear to solve the specific problem that we want. Yes. Some medicines, to cure a cold, you cure it, but then you get cancer. So no one can argue, your cold is cured, but it's created a bigger problem. You don't like the heat? So Srinathji Prabhu was telling me a whole scientific exposition about the environment. What is it called? Freon? Yes. People don't like heat.
So this man was working so hard to try to, he accidentally created this chemical, which is the chemical that provides air conditioners, that cooling effect. So doesn't everyone like air conditioning? Makes you cool. It's cool to be cool. So it does solve a problem. Solve the problem in your office, solve the problem in your home, solves a problem in your car. And millions, tens and millions of people are solving their problem. But there's another problem. It's destroying the ozone, which is God's natural filter for the sun's rays. The ultraviolet rays, which are usually very perfectly filtered by this atmospheric ingenious invention of the Lord, we're destroying it. It's creating global warming. It's creating all kinds of cancers and diseases. As the solar ice caps melt, greenhouse effects and all of that, God knows what's going to happen. Bombay may just be a bay without the bomb. Unless Pakistan drops the bomb first. So it's either going to be bomb or bay. Very difficult. So yes, we solve one problem, but we create more difficult problems. So this is very nicely personified. They're trying to solve the problem. The demigods want their abodes. They want strong power so they can defeat the demons. And the demons want the nectar to get power to defeat the demigods. And in the result, this poison comes, which is going to defeat everybody instantly. So they pray to the Lord, Vishnu. Vishnu said, go to Lord Shiva, because the Lord loves to see his devotee perform wonderful activities. And so they went to Lord Shiva, and out of compassion, he immediately drank the entire ocean of poison. By his mystic powers, he condensed all that poison, which was spreading throughout the entire universe. He just attracted it all into the palm of his hand and concentrated it. Now, concentrated juices are very popular. Lord Shiva is the originator of this concentrate. He concentrated mass poison, which was all over, everywhere, to the palm of his hand. Can you imagine how powerful that was? And then he drank it. His throat became black. And he's glorified as Nilakanta because he has such a beautiful dark blue throat, which is the result of his showing compassion to the living beings. And in this story, Srila Prabhupada writes in purport, and Shukadeva Goswami reveals in Srimad Bhagavatam, that there is no greater service that one could render to the Lord than showing compassion to those who are suffering. There is nothing that pleases the Lord within this world greater than that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified many of his devotees with such enthusiasm as if he had five mouths. But when Vasudev Dutt prayed to suffer hellish conditions for the rest of eternity so that every living being could go back to his abode with the liberation,
Lord Chaitanya was weeping tears with a choked voice. And finally, when he was able to speak, he glorified Vasudev Dutt as if he had 1,000 mouths. That is how dear a person is who is willing to accept inconvenience, struggle, and pain to show compassion to others.
Srila Prabhupada, Krishna put him in a situation. He was under Krishna's divine energy. Mahatmanas tumam parata daivim prakritim ashrita. The great Mahatmas are under the Lord's internal potency. It was by the Lord's will that he had heart attacks. It was by the Lord's will that he was sickly. Just to magnify the greatness of his compassion, that he endured so much out of his love of God to help us. And when we remember Prabhupada, these are some of the prominent characteristics that come to our heart. The immense sacrifice at such an old age. Krishna could have given him a first-class airplane ticket on Air India or even British Airlines or Swiss Air, but Krishna put him on the Jaladut. Krishna could have arranged a penthouse on Park Avenue in New York City, but instead he gave him a little one-room flat in the Bowery ghetto. It was Krishna's arrangement so that we could better appreciate what is a Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada asked us, every single one of us, to take risks, to accept losses, to endure hardships, to show compassion to others. But Krishna, making him the acharya, put him in a situation where he did more than any of us could ever do as far as making sacrifices. And therefore, Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale. He is most dear to Lord Krishna. So Lord Shiva's greatness in showing compassion to the living entities of this world, induces love and worship from our hearts. And even he accepts charge over people in the mode of ignorance, which a devotee doesn't like to associate with such people. And he's the greatest devotee. But by the will of the Lord, he's there associating with such people. Srila Prabhupada was also like that. He left Vrindavan to go to the Lower East Side of New York and London and all these places, associating with people who were in the mode of ignorance, to say the least. From living at Seva Kunj at Radha Damodar Temple to being at places where people who were coming to him were drug addicts, sex mongers, meat eaters, gambling their lives away, had no devotion whatsoever to God. Passion and ignorance. But he went there only to elevate. But still,
In these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find how Lord Shiva, his greatest ecstasy is to subordinate himself before the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And for those who are devotees of Lord Shiva should know that there is no greater way you could please Lord Shiva than developing love for Krishna. Because that's his life and soul. That's ultimately what he wants to give you, love for Krishna. And to do so, he established a whole Vaishnav Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Balabhacharya, who was very famous in Sri Vrindavan Dham. He is one of the great acharyas of the Rudra Sampradaya. Vishnu Swami, so many great personalities. So yes, Lord Shiva, he takes a role in this world, a thankless task of being the predominating deity over the Tamaguna. And being the predominating deity of Tamaguna, people in Tamaguna worship him like anything. Ravana worshipped him. Vritrasura worshipped him. So many demons, Vrikasura. And Lord Shiva has to perform the thankless task of giving them what they want. But his real mission in this world is he has established a sampradaya which teaches nothing but pure ecstatic love for Krishna in Vrindavan. That's all. We find a beautiful story in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Shall I tell?
No.
Lord Chaitanya left Shantipur on his way to Jagannath Puri. He had recently taken sannyas. He stopped in Bhuvaneshwar. In Sri Bhuvaneshwar, he went to Bhuvaneshwar Mahadev, beautiful temple, ancient temple. He went before the Shiva Lingam there and danced in ecstasy. It is reciprocal. Because Lord Shiva, when he chants the names of Krishna, he goes into such ecstatic trance that sometimes he dances in so much ecstasy that his clothes fall off and he is not even conscious of it. Now at the rainbow gathering, people dance without clothes, but they're fully conscious of it. And it's not due to ecstasy. It's due to something very, very different, which we're not going to discuss at length today. But Lord Shiva is dancing, 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 clothes fall off, and he doesn't even know it. He's not in this world. He's totally absorbed in the nectar of the holy names. And similarly in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many occasions where Sri Adwaita's dancing in so much ecstasy that his clothes fall off and he doesn't know. Now today, people, what do they call, like streakers or flashers? They just run around with no clothes. But that's a false ego thing. But Adwaitacharya, being non-different than Lord Shiva, they are just so ecstatic. Can you imagine? They're dancing in such a way that there's just no way for their clothes to stay on. What type of dance is that? And they don't even know. And not only that, nobody else notices either.
because they're so ecstatic. It's not that people are closing their eyes. Everybody's in trance when Advaitacharya or Lord Shiva dances. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocates with his devotee, because Lord Shiva so ecstatically dances before the Lord. On this day, the Lord was ecstatically dancing before the deity of Mahadev. And he worshipped Lord Mahadev because he wanted to show the world that he worships his devotee. He is eternally obliged to the love of his devotee. There are many such occasions where Krishna worships his devotee. And everyone there at the temple was gathered around chanting mantras, singing the praises of Lord Shiva, offering the lamps of ghee and flowers. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy to see all this. All these people were worshiping his devotee. Vrindavan Das Thakur then tells us the history of how this particular place became so holy and why Lord Shiva is residing there. Previously, Lord Shiva lived with Parvati for a very long time in Kashi. There they performed their lila. They decided to move from Kashi to the Mount Kailash and left Kashi to be ruled by ordinary mortal kings. Now, one such mortal king in this line was named Kashiraj. And due to the opulence of his kingdom, and due to his being such a devout worshiper of Lord Shiva, he became proud. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes he had a battle with Krishna and was defeated. Now, for an egoistic kshatriya, defeat is so shameful. In Kashiraj's mind, there was no way he could ever find peace of mind unless he got vengeance and defeated Krishna. Such a fool. He's the king, living in such a holy place as Kashi. Nobody's bothering him. He's unrivaled. He wants to go and attack others. Yes? Why doesn't he just live peacefully? He has his family, he has his children, but there was something that he could not tolerate. He lost a battle. He was humiliated. This is the nature of false ego. It burns like fire. Even if everything else in the world is going very well, if your prestige is compromised, oh, does that ever pain the heart? So he performed the most terrible sacrifices for Lord Shiva's pleasure. Horrible austerities he was doing. Lord Shiva appeared before him. He said, "What do you want?" Kashiraj said, "My heart burns for the sweetness of revenge against Krishna. I must defeat him in battle." So Lord Shiva said, "If that is your wish, then you take your armies and march to Dwarka. And I promise you,
I will personally be behind you with all my armies, and I will have my Pashupati weapon to support you. Now go. Hare Krishna. So Kashi Raj assembles his armies, and with passionate revenge burning in his heart, he's marching to Dwarka, and Shiva's behind him with his troops.
This story is also described in Skanda Purana version, and that is what Vrindavan Das Thakur is telling. That Lord Krishna is the super soul in everyone's heart. He knows everything. So he sent his Sudarshan Chakra. Hadivo. He sent that Sudarshan Chakra. And Sudarshan very effortlessly sliced off the head of Kashiraj. And then destroyed his army. And then Sudarshan went to Kashi and burned the whole city down. There was nothing left of Kashi. And Kashi is very dear to Lord Shiva. He was very disturbed. So he sent his Pashupati weapon against the Sudarshan weapon. Now, one of the effects of Pashupati, it creates intense heat that could just burn all directions, just melt, total meltdown. But then Krishna sent Narayanadwara, yes, which makes everything very cold. Prabhupada said, too much heat is austerity. Too much cold is misery. So Pashupati was defeated. And then Sudarshan went, after Pashupati weapon was defeated and just surrendered, came back to Lord Shiva and said, you know, I'm sorry, I cannot help you anymore. Then Sudarshan attacked Lord Shiva. Because this is the style of Sudarshan Chakra. First, it destroys the weapon, and then it goes after the person who sent the weapon. So when Lord Shiva saw Sudarshan Chakra coming after him, he just ran as fast as he could. He flew as fast as he could. But Sudarshan was right behind him wherever he went. It's very similar to Durvas Muni. When he offended Ambarish and created a monster to kill Ambarish, Sudarshan first killed the monster, then went to Durvas, and he ran away. So very similarly, Shiva was running away. But he didn't bother going to Brahmaloka or anywhere else like Durvas did. He knew it is Krishna's chakra. I have no refuge except in the lotus feet of Krishna. So in his heart of hearts, he just remembered Krishna and surrendered to his lotus feet, begging forgiveness, offering prayers. And Sudarshan left him alone, and then Krishna personally appeared before him. Lord Shiva was praying to Krishna, you are the all-powerful, omniscient, supreme personality of Godhead. I am your devotee, and you always protect your devotee. So please protect me. I am such a fool. I am such a fool that I sided with this Kashiram and I went against you. Now I understand that you are very angry with me. Please forgive me. Please, please, I beg you, forgive me. And give me shelter. Then Lord Shiva began to explain, actually, I'm always surrendered to you. I'm your devotee. And you are the controller of all controllers.
It was you, my Lord. It was you, my Lord, who made me take the side of Kashiraj. Because in the river of destiny, we are all like pieces of straw. And according to your waves, we must move this way or that way. So it is you who have given me this feeling to fight against you. I had no power. But still, I beg forgiveness because I did the wrong thing. Please give me shelter. And the Lord told Shiva, he said, that you sided with this Kashiraj? He's my enemy. He was coming to destroy me, and you sided with him. Therefore, it is my opinion that there is no one in the entire universe that hates me more than you. Oh, Lord Shiva's heart was broken. It was crushed. And he fell at the Lord's feet, weeping and crying, begging for forgiveness. And he said, it's because I'm always in bad association that I've become like this. I need your association, my Lord. I need to always be in your association. If I'm not in your association, this is what happens to me. So please give me a place to live where I can always be near you. So then Krishna picked up Lord Shiva and embraced him. And he said, actually, there is no one I love more than you. And I will fulfill your desire. He said, just close to here is Neelachala. Well, I will reside as Lord Jagannath. And it will be known throughout the world as Purushottam Kshetra, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there in the form of Lord Jagannath, I will bestow mercy upon all living beings. And today I give you eternal residence in this forest, which is called Ekamrakavan. Here, people will have to pass through you to get to see me in Jagannath Puri. In this beautiful forest, you will reside. And in this way, you will always be near to me. And not only that, but I give you the benediction that you will be the Kshetrapal. You will be the protector of all my dhams. And we find this today. Every dham of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, Shiva is the Kshetrapal, the protector. In Vrindavan, Ayodhya, Chitrakoot, Dwaraka, Jagannath Puri, in the four directions and the outskirts of the holy dham, there is always the temples of Lord Shiva. And within those holy dhams, in Vrindavan, is Gopeshwar Mahadev, Kameshwar Mahadev, Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Bhuteshwar Mahadev, and so many temples. These four were especially installed by Vajradnab. And in the place of Sri Ramchandra, Ayodhya, Chitrakoot, prominent temples of Lord Shiva, Mithila, there's Janaki Mandir, Ram Mandir, beautiful Shiva Mandir. So this was the Lord's benediction. And this is why we find Lord Shiva prominent in all the dhams. Because Lord Krishna, on this particular day, in this particular pastime, gave him the benediction. Lord Shiva was praying, I am your devotee, but I need your association. Please make me always live with you.
So he gave him prominent places in all of his towns. And then he said, and because of my love for you, this holy place will from now on be known as Bhuvaneshwar. Named after you only, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was very satisfied. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, remembering the intimate love between Shankar Bhagavan and the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, he was in ecstasy, dancing and dancing and dancing, and embracing all the devotees of Lord Shiva, thanking them for their great devotion. And even to this day, what I have been told is Bhuvaneshwar, which is one of the most magnificent temples in all the world. In fact, it is the classic personification of Orissan architecture. Amongst architects, it even has prominence over Jagannath's temple. Magnificent temple. But in that temple, all the Boga, they have a temple of Lord Jagannath. They offer all the Boga to Jagannath, and then they bring Jagannath's prasad to the main deity of Bhuvaneshwar Mahadev. Because there, Lord Shiva only takes Jagannath's remnants. Now, Shivites, they come from all over the four directions to worship Bhuvaneshwar Mahadev. And many of them consider him to be supreme. But it is interesting that very few of them take interest in the fact that Lord Shiva will only eat Jagannath's prasad. Why? Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. He's the greatest Vaishnava. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to never, ever disrespect the demigods because they are his devotees, and especially never to disrespect Mahadev, Lord Shiva, because he is the greatest devotee. The devotees worship Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. We do not worship Lord Shiva considering him to be the supreme and asking him for material benedictions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kabitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoi tikitvai. I do not want wealth or beautiful ladies or men. I do not want fame or prestige or followers. I do not want even liberation. I only want to serve you, my Lord, unconditionally, birth after birth after birth. This is the mood we should be chanting Krishna's names. This is the mood we should be worshiping the deities. This is the mood we should be performing our service to the Vaishnavas and to Sri Guru. That is Mahaprabhu's teaching. And those who worship Lord Shiva with that unconditional motivation, they will go to the abode of Sadashiva in the spiritual world. Even if they consider him supreme, because he is an Amsa, a Vishnu. But in this world, very few people worship him in that way. If you actually worship him in that way, then out of his causeless mercy, if he's really pleased with you,
He will give you what's most dear to him. He will give you bhakti to Lord, to Shamsundar, the Lord of Vrindavan. But most worship as a demigod. Give me power. Ravana, if you go to Gokarna, there's that Shivalinga of that Ravana worshipped. He just wanted to satisfy his false ego. He wanted power. He wanted knowledge. He wanted mysticism. And petty little Ravanas, they want money. They want success. They may be pious to some extent. But Lord Shiva's a demigod. He'll give you that if that's what you really want, if you worship him accordingly. But if we really please Lord Shiva with the proper attitude, he will direct us to Sri Vrindavan Dham and induce us from within our hearts to eternally chant the holy names. And even Shankaracharya, thankless task. Lord Shiva's such a great devotee. He's always getting these thankless tasks. And he does it. He carries them out on Krishna's order. He's the most compassionate person. And Krishna tells Lord Shiva, go to the earth and mislead everyone with this Mayavad philosophy. I think he gets pleasure doing that. He gets pleasure pleasing Krishna, no matter what he has to do. But ultimately, Narayana Parovyakta. Narayana is transcendental. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Uthamata. Worship Govinda. So he has given many instructions according to his role on behalf of the Lord. But essentially, in his heart of heart, he wants to give us all the most cherished gift in his, the most cherished treasure of his heart, prema bhakti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It is very late, so we'll have one question.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. When boy was coming to the temple regularly and he was upset because he was a devotee of Lord Shiva, and he said that in some place he read Prabhupada writing that Lord Shiva was agitated by Parvati and then Kartikeya was born, and then Shiva, and then Prabhupada glorifies Haridas Thakur as Dhira, he never got disturbed. So we know that Prabhupada glorifies Shiva, but when we find certain passages like this, how do we understand and how do we explain it to people who come up with questions?
You are from Udupi, yes? Before the Udupi Krishna temple, there is the Chandramaleshwam temple, temple of Lord Shiva, and Ananteshwar temple, Lord Shiva. Madhvacharya took sannyas in Ananteshwar temple. He took the blessings of Chandramaleshwar, just as we take blessings of Chandramali Swami. So here's Madhvacharya, the most stalwart devotee of Narayan. Yes? But he's worshipping Lord Shiva. Lord Chaitanya also visited all those temples. So the devotees who have proper understanding of real bhakti are most dear to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva told this to Parvati. Those who are my devotees are dear to me, but those who are the devotees of Krishna are the most dear to me, because Krishna is most dear to me. So we were explaining how Lord Shiva, he accepts roles to teach the world by his example. Sometimes the right things and sometimes the wrong things. An example, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mohini Murti. I heard Chandramali Maharaj's class yesterday about Mohini Murti. It's very nice. Who was it that asked that question? Raise your hand, please. Who asked that question? Why? Please stand up. Yes. He asked a very ridiculous question. But I'm sure it was very sincere from his heart. He asked, if Mohini Murti was so beautiful, she was attracting everyone. So if we want to attract the world, why don't we install deities of Mohini Murti? Because she's Lord Vishnu. Yes? It's actually a good question. And Chandramali Maharaj asks, are you really serious about this question? And the most amazing part of the class is he said yes. So Chandramali Swami told him that he should write a proposal to the GBC. That we make it a resolution that all temples install Mohini Murtis to attract everyone's heart. Yes, it was a very nice class. You can sit down whenever you like. Now, the problem with this Mohini Murti deity is all the demons were attracted to her. But none of them were attracted to her for the right purpose. They were all attracted to exploit her. They all wanted to exploit her. They didn't want to serve her. They didn't want to surrender to her. So it's not the purpose of our temples to have deities that attracts millions of people to come to exploit the deity. To want to have sex with the deity. Huh? It's not our... We'd become like a tantric temple if we did that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our Gaudiya Sampradaya is teaching unconditional love. Not to enjoy Krishna, but to be enjoyed by Krishna. Therefore, we have the deities of Radha and Krishna. And they are standing in such a way so that pious and sincere people will surrender our hearts to be enjoyed by them. So anyways, in this story, Lord Shiva was covered over by Yoga Maya and he was chasing after Mohini Murti. And Krishna did it in such a way that Mohini Murti, who is Vishnu, in this extraordinary female form. Lord Shiva said, you know, I heard about how you appeared in this form of Mohini Murti and all the demons were mad after you. I want to see this form. Vishnu said, are you sure? Are you really sure you want to see this form? He said, yes. So he showed him the form. Please stand up again. So Lord Shiva was standing next to his own wife, Parvati, and he just left her, forgot all about her existence, and started chasing after to embrace Mohini Murti. And Mohini Murti very expertly took a route. She ran away, and she took a route right through the ashrams of Lord Shiva's devotees, who were all renunciates. They were all sadhus, who've given up all possessions, who won't even look in the direction of a female form. And they're doing it all for the pleasure of Lord Shiva. And all of a sudden, they're doing their tapasya and their meditation and their... And then this most beautiful woman with no clothes on just runs right through their ashram. Now, brahmacharis, what would happen during brahmachari class if something like this happened? It would be embarrassing. You know, they were just like holding their eyes and looking down and trying to restrain their senses from this very terrible distraction for the pleasure of Lord Shiva. They're just covering their eyes and putting their heads down. What would happen if Lord Shiva saw us looking at this woman? And the next thing they know, they see Lord Shiva chasing after her. And they're crying. They're crying out, Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Shiva, what are you doing? Come back, come back. And he was so intoxicated with passion for Mohini that he didn't even hear them. Total embarrassment. So Lord Vishnu asked Shiva, are you sure you want to see this form? So my question to you, sir, are you sure you want to worship this form? Huh? No. Then you can sit down. It's part two of yesterday's class. So then Lord Shiva is running, and he touches her, and then all sorts of things happen, which we're not going to discuss the details. And then he becomes composed, and then Vishnu appears. And Vishnu says, so? And Lord Shiva, he was not embarrassed. He was very happy that he made by material standards, he really put himself in the most humiliating situation. I mean, he's the highest embodiment of Dharma. And what does he do? He leaves his wife to chase after a young woman. And she's just standing there watching. Shiva, come back. And then he runs right through his devotees' ashrams. And there, Shiva, they were bewildered. But Lord Shiva told Vishnu, I'm very happy this all happened.
I'm not at all embarrassed. Because it is my pride that the whole world knows that I am subordinate to you. The fact that you conquered me, the fact that you bewildered me, personally, it wasn't his Mahamaya, it was Yogamaya. It was his direct spiritual personality that put this spell on Lord Shiva. You have shown the world that I am always subordinate to you. And let the whole world know that. I am very proud and happy with what just happened. So yes, sometimes Lord Shiva, he's the Supreme Lord in a particular mood. And sometimes certain activities, like Durvas Muni, who is his Amsa, shows anger, or Lord Shiva shows other types of sometimes apparent weaknesses. But it's a lesson to show the world. He's never under the spell of Maya. He's never under the modes of material nature. And even if he apparently does come under the modes of material nature, it's by his own sweet will. Yes? He's never a conditioned soul. He's Shiva Tattva. He's above all jivas. He's always perfectly liberated in ecstatic love. But sometimes he shows certain lessons to the world through his example. And sometimes the Supreme Lord uses him to show the world through his examples. Yes, so this is an example that Prabhupada is giving. How Thakur Haridas, because he was so fixed in chanting the holy name, even Maya Devi herself could not distract his attention. Does that answer your question? So for persons who actually understand the truth of these pastimes, this is the glory of Lord Shiva. This is a glory of Lord Shiva that most of his own devotees cannot comprehend. His total surrender to the absolute truth in a spirit of total compassion to all living beings. That's why all these things are happening. So we glorify Lord Shiva for this, because we understand the internal significance of his identity. But people who do not understand that will become bewildered. Is that all right? I'm sorry if I embarrassed you, but a lot less than if you saw Mohini Murti. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.